kick off the Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. I'm Nick Kyprios. He's Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. And remember, you can always download us if you can't catch us live wherever you get your pod. And at some point between now and July, I'll remind you to text us at 590, 590. And Sam needs to work on his reads, apparently, from the first couple of tries already. And
it's early.
It's still training camp for Sam.
Getting some
it's okay.
Some negative feedback about me.
Text us at 590, 590. And let Sam get back on the bike.
You got to get his feet under him. Have you ever seen someone at camp come in and your coach just says, you got to do extra. Like, you got to do an extra bike ride after the sessions. Maybe that was you.
No, showing up in shape was never my issue. I won awards.
Did you? Were you top of class?
Yeah, and they used to be cash awards.
No joke.
In Philly, they'd give you a trophy, the Bob Clark Strength and Conditioning Award. Oh, yeah, and took great pride in that.
Wow.
Yes.
I guess I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Pull-ups, push-ups.
Pull-ups.
Dips.
Did Doug McClain ever tell you the Mike Gardner pull-up training camp story?
No.
In Washington? Is he coming on this week?
I don't know. You tell me.
Are we off the rails? Are we doing a Friday off the rails so early?
Yeah, we are. He's coming on.
He's your bud. I don't know. You said he might want to come on. So
okay,
maybe.
We'll save it for Doug then. I think he's. I do believe that he's coming on.
Here's
today?
Here's the problem. The odds were to bring up this
tomorrow.
Story.
Tomorrow he's coming on.
Okay, you're the producer. Remind us to ask Doug about that.
Okay.
Okay?
I will remind you. 100%. 100%.
All right. Are you pumped for today? Not only do we have the first hour Leaf Edition and our second hour nationally, where we'll welcome in Steve Alleghet.
Yeah.
How can I forget?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm like, who did you book? Who did you book?
Valley, but.
Valley's like. One of our stars.
I love watching you guys when I'm on.
We have two superstars on the show today.
Two
Real Kipper and Bourne superstars.
Gord Stellick, of course, but he's us.
He is.
He's us. He's more us than those other guys.
Yeah, it's almost like you treat the ones closest to you, you know, with maybe not enough respect sometimes because we just see him as our family.
Fresh off their Dante's Fiesta.
He's one of us.
Okay, so that'll kick us off, Gord Stellick, in about 25 minutes.
Where'd you get that drop, Derek? That's a good one.
Which one
time?
Is that one?
Can we have that again, Derek? Oh, sorry, I put you on the spot.
Fresh off their Dante's Fiesta.
If Dante still exists, we could use them to send a Fiesta to the room here.
Just to give you some quick background on that, you know. Gordon, I used to work Sportsnet many moons ago, and he couldn't function unless we ordered from Dante's, and he got the Fiesta.
The Fiesta.
Like, he was a different person. When
extra peppers. It's Gord Stellick.
Yes. And the garlic bread and all of it. And then
a whole Fiesta.
Then he'd squeeze in and a Diet Coke.
Poor Gord.
Okay, so are you excited today? Not only do we have our show here, but we're working tonight nationally on a Leaf Detroit game where I don't know how many stars we'll see, but we're going to see some guys fighting for some spots.
I mean, you may think I'm being sarcastic here, but I am very excited. I love this stuff. I love these preseason battles for spots. You know, I talking about Nick Robertson for a week straight. At least it's not talking about the core four, which is fun. So, yeah, I like it. You know, we're going to see more from Cowan, more from Pacioretty, more from the guys. You and I, one of the things we had talked about doing the broadcast tonight was writing down our opening night lineup. This matters tonight. This has impact into what the Leafs will do.
Yeah, I've always said that in the preseason, I like the road games way more than I like the home games because I don't really need to watch through my hands with where the stars are playing in these
Matthews
meetings.
Can't have two preseason goals in the past 10 years.
I couldn't tell you one.
Right.
I think he scored on Carey Price maybe in his first year, and I was like, wow, that was sweet. Yeah. I don't want to see him again until the regular games start. So I like the road games. I like seeing Pacioretty out there. I like seeing these guys that are fighting for jobs. So the road games are way better, so we don't have to watch Nick Robertson spear Nylander into somebody's knee again tonight.
I've had
knee-emel at time.
A dozen NHL training camps in which I participated in NHL exhibition games in mm-hmm. all of them. Mm-hmm. And I cannot recall a training camp like this one where so much talk is about revisiting, what are we doing here? The makeup of minor leaguers against major leaguers, road games that teams aren't sending their stars.
So the talk about the structure of preseason even existing.
The structure of it, all of it needs to be apparently revisited by the NHLPA and the NHL. I don't know if the needle will move at all, but I can't recall ever so much polarizing talk about stars being hurt or having who's the team that's over in Chechia, New Jersey? Jersey
and Buffalo. So they play tomorrow at 1.
New Jersey's got their A team overseas and they're playing here. It's like against the Rangers the other night.
But your team's there. How are you exactly, also? Like,
who is on there?
And it actually is not right.
Why do I want to play against this team that's pretending to be an NHL?
This is an NHL
club.
Preseason game.
And I do think that you talk about the injuries. I think a lot of, I don't know if there's any validity to this, but it's something I've been thinking about. When you're playing the stars at home, like, for example, what happened to Line A on Saturday night. You're playing the stars against the road team who is the quote-unquote non-stars, the Marley guys, the ECHL guys. I mean, you guys have both played enough hockey in your life. It's more dangerous when you're playing against bums like me than it is when you're playing against people of your own skill level. It creates a dangerous mix where you're having like these ECHLers play on the road versus these stars at home. It's a weird thing.
But I would say it's only fairly recently that NHL teams seem to have agreed on a structure for the preseason where it's bad guys on the road, good guys at home. You know, 3 years ago, yes. 5 years ago, I'm not so sure. It only seems like the last few years where teams have said, you know, there's going to be this sort of duality of teams rather than it used to be. Let's get in everyone in a couple games and off we go.
It's the plan.
Like, there is a plan.
And again,
Leafs came out hot with their first roster.
To your point where Patrick Laine is coming through the neutral zone 1,000 miles an hour and he meets up with a kid who probably was like scared to death.
Flat-footed like a deer on the highway.
Doesn't know how to react. Never seen a guy quite like this and needs a reaction. You know, I mean, even Patrick Laine should have known better. Like, it's an exhibition game. Like, what are you doing? You going 1,000 miles through the neutral. First of all, hey, Montreal Canadiens, I got news for you. The guy's a shooter. I'm not sure. I don't want him coming through. I can think of a few more players on your roster I'd rather have come through the middle of the ice 1,000 miles an hour than Patrick Laine.
Yeah, this isn't.
You are a shooter, my friend. Yeah. You are not a carrier.
I mean, this does steal from the National Hour, but he said, you know, that he blames himself for the incident, basically, right? Is that? I mean, that's paraphrasing, like,
put a reversal on that incident, and a Montreal Canadian standing flat foot takes out Marner or Matthews. What would the uproar have been in this town?
There would have been some. No doubt about that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So my guess, Kip, is that they're going to go to 84 regular season games and take away 3 preseason games or something like that. So the guys play one less total game.
Yeah.
But owners are going to want 2 more.
But some guys like it. Some guys don't. You mentioned yesterday's show, Connor McDavid, I want to play more.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. Edmonton's like.
How about Joe Wall? Is he playing tonight?
No. It does affect your product if you play less in the preseason. Like, I'm a huge NFL fan. I watch every Sunday. The first 3 weeks of the NFL, you're like borderline unwatchable. Like, it's just the product is not good because the first 3 weeks, everybody's like sort of playing their first game, getting their first reps. The first 2 weeks of the NHL season, generally, you know, it's not as great a hockey. It's a little bit more like preseason. So the less guys play in the preseason, the more it affects your regular season product. So it's a give and take, but like, who remembers the first 2 weeks of the season anyway? It's,
so
you just get through.
We'll see.
Just get
most fans don't even know. Yeah. They're not good enough.
We'll see a bunch of 3.5, 4th liners battling out tonight. And Saturday night, we should see a pretty darn close lineup for Craig Berube. Saturday night for the back-to-back against Detroit, going into Wednesday night's home opener.
Yeah. Tonight's Leafs decor is Kalkanen, Matinen, Myers, Niemela, Rafai, Weber, and Liljegren. Liljegren is the only one in the group who is likely to be in the opening of the night lineup. Maybe Rafai makes the team, but this is their AHL decor, essentially.
Don't read into anything.
What kills
like
me
that.
Is Liljegren here, and not to get ahead of the show, he's not even on power play one tonight. He's playing with the AHL guys, and he's not even the top power play. Niemela is going to run the top power play unit tonight. So, like, what is Berube, like, anyone else noticing that Liljegren's getting treated like an AHLer here?
But Liljegren isn't in the plans to run any power play. So don't give it to him. Give it to the young kid that could still build some confidence up.
I mean, I don't know if
that's where it's coming from.
Then it's the old, what would you say you do here for Liljegren? What is the game state where Berube's like, it's Lily time. Get him over the boards. This is Lily's sweet spot.
He's a 5'6".
Not defense.
He's a 5'6". He's mid, and he's a 5'6".
Not really PK. Kind of does PK because you need him to do something.
Just a serviceable depth guy.
So when you're up or down three, you want to put him over the boards?
No.
Four? No.
Sometimes you got to shut down your third pair.
I'd rather have a guy who does a thing, who kills penalties or hits someone or...
Well, maybe
at least Timmons does something.
That'll be a huck and paw when he's healthy.
That would be great.
Okay.
I'm on board with that. I'd rather have Timmons, who you say put him on the power play at least. He's got a noticeable thing.
But between Morgan and Ekman Larson, the power play is going to get looked after and your fourth forward.
Yeah.
So you're fine there. You don't need to have him believe that he's this close to
getting a chance,
right?
Just give me a chance.
So
he's getting no chance.
Liljegren, still, in my opinion, they probably like to get rid of him, like to get rid of his $3 million. But you can't. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you can early in the season. But a couple of injuries for
a few
teams.
The other thing, too, is
the right shot, who's 25.
What other right shots do you have? Tanev?
Hawk and Paw. But you don't know when he's going to be ready to rock, so...
Can't count on that guy.
No.
That guy is nothing but a cherry on top if you can keep him healthy till spring.
Well, then they need someone else.
Right.
What about this Philippe Myers? He's played a sneaky 200 NHL games or something. He's 6'5". He's only, I want to say he's 20, I don't know, 6 or something. No?
No, not ready. He's just not ready.
26. If you're not ready now. It's like an avocado. You got to get him. There's like a 3-month window. He's going to be ready. And then, he's old now.
You can go by and pinch him a little bit.
No.
Too ripe.
Still too green.
Too ripe. Yeah. So then, really, all the significant potential changes are up front. Mm-hmm. So how many spots are legitimately open for how many guys? I'll start with you, JB.
Well, you know, looking at the roster tonight, the guys who are in it, there's some fringe guys. So Cowan's playing, Grabankin's playing, Yarncroc, Kampf, Lawrence, McMahon, Alex Nylander, Max Pacioretty, Robertson, and Alex Steeves. So amongst those guys, there's probably, three spots or something available?
It could be, yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
So Pacioretty's going to get a chance. Robertson's got to make the
chance. He's not on any bubble at all.
Patch.
He's starting. Patch is going to start.
Robertson, too. Robertson's in. You're
that
full.
I would say that he probably would start, but you got to also remember they do have a salary crunch. Mm-hmm. They have guys hurt. You're going to finagle the salary cap to the point where you may not have to send anybody down right away. So, you know, Connor Dewar, for me, is on the outside looking in.
He's hurt.
Yeah, but he's close. He's skating, and he's hurt. You'd probably want to keep him hurt for salary cap reasons to start. But to me, he's behind Holmberg. He's behind Nick Robertson.
Yeah.
He's behind Cowan for me.
Wow.
And I don't even have Cowan in the lineup.
That's a good, we've done now, we're on to day three here. And I think one of the biggest talking points heading into this camp.
Callahan had a chance to make the team, it felt like.
Yeah, I think a lot of people over the summer, listen, I had a lot of Leafs conversations over the summer while you guys were golfing. I had a lot of conversations about it.
You weren't.
Listen, I was on here every day. But a lot of people, the Cowan thing was a huge, huge conversation. And I think by all accounts, it hasn't been the strongest camp for him. Like, has he jumped out to you in any of these games, or you've been kind of blown away? His best game was when he got to play with, you know, Max Domi and Mitch Marner, where you'd want him to be good in that game. But it's been a big talking point. I don't know what you guys thought.
More than anyone, you know, to even have a chance needs a night tonight. He needs 2-1.
It's kind of hard because he's coming off such an amazing, unexpected camp last year, and then he goes right through and becomes CHL Player of the Year and has this amazing run in junior hockey and doesn't even go back to training camp, even though he's eligible for his third year or fourth year. I'm not sure if he was an underage or not, but whatever it is, he's got junior eligibility. He bypasses London's training camp. He trains with the guys all year. He's living with the players.
Is that right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he's saying to himself,
yeah,
I'm making the team this year.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It's hard. It's easier to sneak up than it is to manage high expectations.
True.
And now he's had high expectations. And then early in training camp, you can see sometimes he's like, you know, this may have worked in junior, but it's not working here. So I'm going to get it out of the game and I'm going to try to do this. And he looked like he was caught a lot of times, which he admitted himself. When he spoke to the media, and now I think in the last game and a half, you're starting to say, hey, you know, this stuff that I could do in junior, I still need to try here mm-hmm. at
oh,
times.
Yeah. So you can't show the game too much respect.
No,
you can't. You need to still do you and figure it out.
That's where he is right now. But right now, Nick Robertson looks a little bit more seasoned than him, as he should.
Sure, he's 23.
Exactly. With experience.
Yeah.
So does that mean that you can find a way to keep Cowan up here and spend a couple of weeks? Does that make sense? If he's not in the lineup, does it make sense to keep Cowan around if he's not playing?
It's not a terrible idea. You know, I know I've talked about it a lot with you guys, but when the Marlies kept around what's his name? Marchment. Mason Marchment, who's now with Dallas. He didn't play games for the team. They didn't think he was ready to play, but they just put him in the gym. He was around the team, talking systems. They just built up his body, got the pro experience, and eventually...
He's still a... He's not a CHL.
Who?
Marchment.
No,
right?
but
it's easier to do that with a guy like Marchment than it is Cowan.
No, but Marchment was at the time 19, 20 years old when they did that.
With zero expectations.
Right. Zero expectations.
Zero expectations.
Totally. But I thought you were getting at the point that maybe it's not bad for Cowan to be around and,
I'm not sure how I feel about it. Ultimately, the kid's got to play.
He's going to play 9 games, I bet, this year at some point. Doesn't have to be games 1-9.
I'm not sure. The roster for the Leafs we're trying to
win today,
yeah. Right? And I don't know if you can buy that sort of time for him. Maybe you could have 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. but not now. There's got to be a sense of urgency to get guys in their proper place and learn a system. Like, I expect some ugly hockey out of the Toronto Maple Leafs to start. I really do. I think the first 15, 20 games may be just to try to kick some Sheldon Keefe habits mm-hmm. or their own habits and bring in Berube's habits.
If you're Berube, you're probably looking for moments where they mess up to capitalize, to make your point, to say, you know, it's not how we're doing it. You know, watch the video, sit some guys down, do those sorts of things. Why don't we stay on Cowan just because we have some Berube clips on where he thinks he's at. Why don't we start with the first one, just how close is Cowan?
Okay.
How close is Easton Cowan to making this team?
Well, he's a good player. Like, he's there, you know. He's going to be in the game tonight, so we'll see how that goes.
He's there.
Yeah.
I saw him for breakfast today. He was actually there.
Has legs.
Having breakfast.
Gonna play.
And, you know, he's a good player.
That's not for today.
Hey, Chief, why don't you just pack his bags and put him on a bus back to London right now, bud?
What do you? How about Brubaker clip two? Maybe a little more electric here. What are you looking for from Callan?
Well, listen, he does what he does with the puck and make plays, and you know he's very good at that. You know, he's a good player, offensive player. He's got to be responsible defensively and manage the game.
Let's just admit it right now, Kippers Clippers is dead.
Let's all take a moment, hang our head, moment of silence.
You know what kind of long year we're in for with those clips?
It's just, you know, something that we haven't really looked at much.
We're gonna have to have a little sit down with them.
Our show's cooked.
Like this is
okay.
This is devastating
of our show. We sit here and we parse through all of Sheldon Keefe's word salad for 25 minutes every day.
He wasn't good.
Sheldon Keefe.
This is not St. Louis.
Do you want to cover the Devils?
He used to listen. Keefe used to do, in the morning, he would do 13 minutes in the morning. Like 13, between 8 and 13 every day. I would cut all the tape. I know it all.
But you couldn't shut him up if you tried.
Berube spoke for a minute and 37 seconds
today.
Oh,
no. Couldn't get 100 seconds.
It's over.
Got 97.
It's over. It's
going.
So do we need any more proof that Cowan is not ready for Craig Berube? Craig Berube's
not ready for Cowan.
Outside of people wanting a shiny new toy for the Leafs.
Yeah, what is he showing that makes you think he's going to...
But, like, why does it matter if he's on the team? Like, you have enough good players. Like, the role he's going to be playing on the team probably isn't one you want him playing anyway. You want him going out in there, touching the puck, feeling the puck, scoring tons of goals, playing for the World Junior
not
team.
Cracking the first power play unit.
People are so desperate for the new thing. Where it's like, oh, this Cowan. It's like, well, just let him go play in junior.
This is actually one of the major perks of having a good team is that your good players like that go get better.
Yes.
They handle the puck and play 22 minutes a night instead of sitting on the bench and playing 11.
He is going to be a go-to guy for a top 10 ranked CHL team that's going to light up the OHL like they do every year.
Mm.
And he's going to be the go-to guy, probably be the captain of the World Junior team. Like, just, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's totally fine.
It's fine.
He's a kid. Just let him go. Anyways, the amount of Cowan conversations I've had, it's like they have lots of great players.
Do you want to do the next Berube?
This is a really good one, too. Right, this is a really good one. Clip three, yeah.
Gonna play today.
Well, I think some guys that are in the game today, you know, we're looking to see what they can do. They're right there. We've got decisions to make. So that game today, for me, they're going to go against a good lineup and, see how they perform.
I mean, it's nothing. He said nothing.
That's a guy, bud.
You know, they're right there. You got decisions to make, so.
Well.
All right, boys.
Well, this has been fun.
There you go. There you go.
This is as old school as it gets for a head coach.
I got to tell you, from a content perspective, horrible. Devastating, even. From a coach of the Leafs perspective.
But I will say this.
Perfect.
We actually need him to, like, get pissed off.
Yeah.
And it'll get a lot more entertaining.
Well, the thing is, he's not going to go 82 games saying nothing. There's going to be lows.
No, for sure.
There's going to be games where he is not filtered to the degree he probably should be. And we'll know.
Didn't he say something after the first preseason game that was like, we got a lot of work to do? Like, he was somewhat critical after the first game.
But
so
here's the reality. What he's saying is the truth about all this stuff. What's the plan for the next two games? Play the guys and see what happens.
Get through it healthy and start it on October 9th.
There's no grand strategy. You know, we're going to see how these guys do and pick the best ones next.
It's kind of how it's worked forever.
But when you had Sheldon who couldn't shut up to this.
And we were treated.
It's an adjustment for us.
You know, there's a saying, boys, you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
You wouldn't have him back for Berube in a...
Oh, of course. No. But from the content perspective, I would. But from a coach perspective, no.
So I've got... Lawrence.
Okay.
I gotta get used to that.
Yeah, it's Lawrence.
I've got Stephen Lawrence starting Wednesday night.
You do?
I do.
What do you like?
He's big.
Very.
He's big, and I think he could understand where his role is, what his lane is. He can get in the way of people. Mm-hmm. He's not the best looking skater, but far from
he's not slow.
The worst.
Yeah.
So I think he's a perfect guy right there.
Yeah. It's like that thing you've been looking for when you look at your fourth line and go, could we just get like a big guy who hits and kills penalties? And he's like, sure.
Well, I mean, one of the tentpole thing that you guys have talked about forever was with the Leafs bringing in these older stars to play on the fourth line where you're like, you know, yeah, you're fourth liners now. And then they're Brian, they're like, sure, buddy.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Wait till like, I get the puck. I'll
Lorenz is just a big, tall, penalty-killing fourth liner who knows he's a fourth liner, knows his role, knows what he's supposed to do. Like, there is value in that. Like,
Was it Luke who did the article with him? He basically said, Lorenz had comments where he's like, you know, you're not picking the best players, you're picking the right players. He was basically saying, that's why you're picking me.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm going to go, I'll be the 6'4", 220-pound, 28-year-old who's going to do the things you want to do and not complain.
That's elite self-awareness right there.
Oh, so nice. Self-aware people.
Love I think, you know, David Kampf is a guy that I think in a perfect world they like to unload.
You do, eh?
Yeah, I do.
He's just too much money. Centerman.
I know, but Holmberg can go in there and do it at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, probably but he, not,
but he's,
wrong.
But,
not wrong.
But he's the one thing that you got to be sure of that, you know, over long stretches that Holmberg can actually do it. Kamp's a natural centerman. Yeah. And there's a question between two and three, right? One's okay. And if you lock in Kampf there, you think he's okay too. But two and three in the middle, what's it going to look like?
I don't know.
No idea.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
So that's a lot of money. 2-4. Even Yarncroc.
That's the guy.
Yarncroc's a lot of money too, but he's reliable.
You love him.
I love the way he plays.
Like you can find a guy to skate up inside on the left wing super hard and look like they're moving really fast and like hit the end glass with a wrister anywhere and less for $2.5 million. Like
a conscience.
He is choked up about it.
No, I bit my cheek.
So, yeah, that's why the thought is if it's going to be Willie and Max, you'd probably have Yarncroc running shotgun there.
You need to grow up with them.
If I had my choice between keeping Yarncroc or David Kampf, there is no question in my mind I'd keep David Kampf over Yarncroc. No question.
I think I would, too.
I think Yarncroc is... Yarncroc experience.
This market is so hard on guys who don't make nothing or a lot. Like, heaven forbid you're Alex Kerfoot and you make 3.5 and you earn it.
Oh, here we go with the Kerfoot.
But, you know, it's not the market and it's not the Leafs. It's how teams are constructed today. It's just everybody does it.
There's no middle class. Well,
they shrunk the middle. It's either big or next to nothing, interchangeable pieces.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure they're serviceable. That's all.
I just think of when I'm building a lineup, I look at guys who you're like, everywhere I put this guy, it makes me feel better. And, you know, doing that in the minors with Zach Hyman, with Connor Brown, it was like every line that guy is on, I like that line. I feel that way about Kampf and Yarncroc. Maybe they should play together. You know, maybe Yarncroc should play some fourth line or third line or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, and I've said the opposite about Max Domi. Everywhere I put him, I'm like, I have trouble with that there. That doesn't quite work. I like the guys that make you feel comfortable, and those guys make me feel comfortable. They're my security blanket guys.
All right. Anything else on the lineup?
Well, we got two big topics.
What? Well, no.
The future of the president, the team getting bought by our company, with some things we were just going to touch on, but maybe we can save those for another day.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, because it's probably a bigger conversation. It's probably a bigger conversation because there is changes, big time changes up top, and a lot of question marks, for sure. But
and I'd like to review what those are.
We'll flush that out when we have more time. All right, you want to take a quick break we'll get Gord Stellick, former general manager with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and now one of our go-to guys on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, back after these words.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Derek shut me down. I'm talking and you don't go until Derek gives you the green light, man.
You saw me eating chocolate. Didn't want to turn the mics on.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Now I know we're back. You know how I know we're truly back? Stellick-tricity. That's how I know we're back.
There he is.
Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and former GM of your Toronto Maple Leafs. He's wonderful. He's talented. Put your hands together for the lovely Gord Stellick.
Gentlemen, does Derek say it's okay to go?
you're green lit. How are you, Gordo?
Refreshed? Refreshed?
I'm refreshed. I'm good. I'm all set to go, you know. Good summer. This is in the hockey world, Kipper and Justin. Like, the best time of the year in some ways is the playoffs for 16 teams. But right now, all 32, they truly believe whatever their best upside is, they can achieve it. So I always like this time of year, and I feel the same thing getting back in the saddle, doing all this stuff.
Okay. If we were to go back to moments after the Boston Bruins beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime, game 7, and you had a vision what the Toronto Maple Leafs lineup or world would look like going into game 1 of the following season, would you say that you're surprised or underwhelmed or overwhelmed at what transpired between losing game 7 and where we are today? And I include the goalie or the GM, the coaching change, the free agents, the somebody's got to go superstar narrative. Where are you going into Wednesday?
I'm satisfied. But I'm not overwhelmed or I'm not underwhelmed. I really liked that team last year. Like, collectively, we look at a bevy of what, 7? I don't count the first of the 8 years that lost to Washington, but since then, it's pretty well always been a playoff disappointment. But you look at how they battled last year, 7 games, the no Matthews, no Nylander in some of the games. The margin was quite small, but again, they didn't find that margin to make the difference. The other team made the difference. But I found so many positives. Joe Wall being developed as a goaltender, the way Max Domi filled in had to play up in a different role. I was hoping they could keep a guy like Bertuzzi. I know they couldn't keep everybody. So I wasn't expecting a ton of changes. I wasn't expecting one of the kingpins to be traded. I never thought Marner nor anybody else was going to get traded. So I liked that team the way it ended last season. They're not a Stanley Cup favorite, I wouldn't say, but they're certainly in the mix. So I'm satisfied with this team heading into this regular season.
Let me ask you a crucial question about the vibes. I want to get your feeling with this team. You know, Tavares has handed the captaincy off to Matthews. Berube has come in, and he's a little bit more blunt force trauma than Sheldon Keefe with his more lawyerly answers. You know, things are different. Tree Living, we're 2 years into his time now. How do you feel about the feel of this team? Are you okay with, you know, the energy and where it feels like the Maple Leafs are at?
So, okay, yes. Those kind of changes, okay, would they have made a difference last year? No. Sheldon Keefe had a great run as a coach here. Yeah, he really did a solid job. And John Tavares as a captain, you know, certainly commendable. At some point it was going to change. But, you know, Justin, what I liked was, okay, no room for error. And I'm actually looking, as Kippy and I still do columns in the Toronto Star. I haven't done one yet, but I'm thinking one based on that great Roger Federer quote last June at Dartmouth University when he said, look, I won 80% of my matches, which doesn't surprise us, but I only won 54% of my points. You go, you're kidding me? 54% of your points. But that showed that kind of margin, and the Leafs need to get that 54% to get like 100% playoff satisfaction sometimes. So whatever little tweaks they're putting, if Ruby can make a bit of a difference to this particular team, if saying Austin, maybe a year early, look, this is your team, whatever, let's take it now. You know, want you to be the lead jockey. If that makes even a little bit of a difference to attain that 54%, then that could be a huge difference. Like if they get that, if it's somebody else seizing the moment like David Pastrnak did, and he did it with a couple of guys like Marner and Riley getting outmaneuvered on that particular play. Well, the Bruins go on, have a great playoff. Jim Montgomery keeps his job. David Pastrnak was told after game 6, you got to play better. And at least this year, they're telling the Leafs that, starting with Sheldon Keefe. It's not acceptable to keep exiting in the playoffs. You don't have to kill them. You got to get the 54%, not the 46%.
Thanks for giving me a great idea to write an article for the Toronto Star.
Oh, I've already done that.
Oh, you did it already?
Washburn and Brandon, yeah.
I was going to steal it. In terms of, you know, bookending the center ice position, we know Matthews is locked at number one. We think that for the time being, Kemp's got the lock on number four. Where do you see two and three playing out?
Okay, here's a big difference maker, because he did that last year with Willie for about one day. And when Ryan O'Reilly came, the same thing. You wondered where was he going to play, who was going to move to the wing. And they did that, unfortunately, got injured as well. And I think part of with the whole John Tavares thing, and he's been very good, or seems to have been very good, accepting this particular kind of role, is the understanding is if you're going to play strength up the middle, then, you know, John Tavares might have to get used to being, quote, a third line center, or, you know, add Nylander, put him in the middle. If that's the best option, let's see what Willie Nylander can do at center. You know, elite players generally like to play that position. He's played it before. And if that gives them three stronger lines, which in the playoffs, that makes a difference of each line coming over the boards has appreciably less ability drop, then that could be a plus. So I'm just saying, Kippy, I think this year, truly anything can go. And if the Willie Nylander situation and they move him to center happens, you could have Matthews, Nylander, and Tavares in center. But I think in this year, Berube's got a little more latitude to do that than they were willing to go in the past.
Let me ask both of you, and I'll start with JB, maybe you first. Why did they bail on Willie Nylander so quickly last year?
You know, I think it's a number of things, but I do. So I think structurally it's hard when you're a centerman. Willie, like, think how far Willie is ahead of the play, you know, when he's creating breakaways, he's in behind the D, he's getting all this.
We call it cheating.
Yes. But he's good at cheating. Can you be good? That's allowed, right?
It's when you can skate like that.
Yeah, he's a good cheater, and I don't think you can cheat back there. So I think if you're a coach, you just see you're going to get less offense. You're playing in traffic a lot more. And then let's face facts. They fell in love with Fraser Minton last year. The guy had a great camp. And so, Gord, that's part of it for you too is, you know, is there anyone this year that that you could fall in love with? But the Nylander thing, I think, is worth touching on if they are going to give it more time than Sheldon did.
Gord, based on what Justin just said, does that make the probability of this working out this time remote?
Yeah, it does. Now, first of all, my level of play, it was called goal sucking, okay, when you play house league at Don Valley Village, okay? Yeah. It's called cheating when you're in the NHL and you're an elite player.
Cherry picking.
I also wonder with the contract situation, he got going really well. It was the last year of the contract that maybe they didn't want to rock the boat. I don't know that, but maybe they wanted to get it clear. Is he going to be here in the big picture? But you still got Fraser Minton. He can go down to the American Hockey League. You got Easton Cowan, who's worth a look. You got Pacioretty, Nick Robertson. You wrote a nice column, Justin, about him. You know, those other particular kind of options that training camp does. Training camp actually, for me, starts with the regular season. There's really no exhibition. What is it? It's a have against a have-not team every night. So you don't get an accurate gauge. You get in shape. And now you get the first number of games to kind of figure things out about who can stay and who can't stay. And they got a lot of bodies that are capable of staying. So they'll have some tougher decision makes a few games in. But, you know, go back to it. I think maybe that was why they decided not to go full bore ahead about Willie Nylander at center last year.
So looking at this team, though, is there anyone else, though, like the way Minton caught their eye last year? Is there anyone that you've said, hey, I like Grubankin or I like Cowan? Is there any of these young guys that are standing out for you?
Guys that caught my eye in training camp and then ultimately didn't do it is why I'm broadcasting now, Justin, okay? if they truly had played the way they caught my
got
eye.
It.
So. So it's that old establishment. It's for your eyes only as far as how you think. I take it with a grain of salt. You know, I'm just glad Nick Robertson, you know, showed that he's worth a shot. He's worth a shot anyway. I'm glad Easton Cowan had that one game to look really comfortable. And aside from that, I really didn't get a hell of a lot from the exhibition series. I know it should be going, hey, if the next game's on the fan, you got to watch it, all that stuff. But no.
It took me all but 5 minutes to start our season four here at Real Kipper and Bourne to know exactly how Justin feels about Max Pacioretty's chances of having longevity here. How about you?
I don't want to come across as a hater. I just want other people to have his opportunity. It's not about him. It's about the other people.
Don't backpedal.
Well, Justin's going to be the parent phoning in for Nick Robertson for ice time. I can't wait
100%.
To call Craig Berube. My son Nick's not getting ice time, and that guy Max, give him a few games. We always are leery to acknowledge somebody can't do it anymore. I'm glad he had some games. Or I like the fact he was hitting too. You know, he was getting some hits, Max Pacioretty, in one or two games. So I still think, and on a good team with a really good center, he didn't have a good center last year in Washington. Backstrom was out, Kuznetsov was out. I mean, so I still think there could be one more kick at it. But to your point, Justin, you can't have blinkers on. What works better? Like for a Bobby McMahon to make it last year, that really showed that, you know, if you're persistent and you seize the opportunity, that they'll find a role for you. Because he sort of came from the back of the pack. So I just think that's something about accurate assessment. You got a lot of different options there. And I don't know if I want to say I'm bullish on Max Pacioretty, but I got him. It's one of those things going into the season to see what happens. I mean, geez, we saw Nick Ritchie 15 games in, didn't work. David Clarkson didn't work, whatever. Certain things that look like sure things didn't work for whatever reason. And you got to be ready to pivot and adapt, particularly when you're talking about ending all these years of playoff disappointments.
Let's talk about looks like a sure thing, because everyone's so excited about Chris Tanev coming here and being a part of this team for a while and making Morgan better and shoring up their decor, and they're better because of Tanev. You know, you've seen Muzzin come here and be that for a while. What are the expectations for Chris Tanev? Is he going to be like TJ Brody, where just no one mentions him and he just kind of does his job? Or how does he impact this back end?
You know, both the Tanev brothers, I really like it that they're both born the last week of the calendar year. You know, everyone's trying to time their kids to come out the first week of January and all that. And then neither of them were drafted. You know, that's kind of a neat story that, you know, just that kind of way that both went into the NHL and became proficient players. Too often we've got too excited about D that really haven't been able to live up to whatever it may be in Toronto. You got to love the addition of Chris Tanev. I mean, is he a Norris Trophy candidate? No, nor do we expect that. But hopefully, again, everyone about staying healthy, but he can add another spice in the Leafs system. Like, who expected Luke Shen to thrive so much when he came with the Leafs in a brief period of time? Mm-hmm. I mean, he just had that great run, partnered with Morgan Rielly, and got that big contract with Nashville. He hadn't played like that in the other year, on the other years in and around his second time back with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So obviously, like, you're getting a core four guy. I mean, Joel Edmundson played really well last year. That guy played really well last year. So that's what I'm hoping, rather than describing a style of play, but being a dependable core four guy on the Maple Leaf blue line. And I certainly expect and believe he'll be that.
Craig Berube's talked about duels staying together, and we know Matthews and Marner will start Wednesday night. We also know that Matthew Nyes will start there.
Really?
Wednesday night.
Yeah?
Sure, why not?
No, you're probably right.
Right? Yeah. Like, give me somebody else.
Max.
No.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Now, in the past, we've seen a revolving door of left wingers.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're committed to Nyes, Matthews, and Marner. And if everyone's staying healthy, what's realistic for you, for Matthew Nyes to look like?
He's not a knife.
82. Nyes. Nyes. What did I say?
You keep calling him cutlery. He's not Nyes.
Nyes? Not niece. Niece.
Yeah.
Nyes.
Nyes. What's realistic for you for season for him if everybody stays healthy?
Okay. So statistically last year, we had that weird game where Austin Matthews tried to get a 70th goal, right? And what a hell of an achievement and all that. I'm just saying, so I'm not going to throw out numbers, okay? Whatever, because it's kind of irrelevant. You want these players vying for the Conn Smythe Trophy at the end of the year. I love Matthew Nyes. I think it's a great fit. And when he came up the year before last, at the end of the year, I was the cautionary guy saying, I've seen a lot of people. Everyone's going, Matthew Nyes. They always talk about someone who's down there. They come and, hey, Stuart Percy on D, I don't know, whatever. And all of a sudden, it just doesn't happen here because you got to give it a big, long run and see what gives. But from the word go, and I'm talking in the playoffs, he really showed he belonged. And I really acclimated myself to that style. So the other key is, and I believe he has it, it's kind of like Patrick Hornqvist with Sidney Crosby, kind of like Michael Bunting. Not everybody is cut out to play with elite players. As crazy as it sounds, but not everybody is. And Matthew Nice seems to have that. And you know, Nick Ritchie was one of them, right? It didn't work out, but to seize that opportunity. So I'm not going to throw any numbers there, but I think he's going to be a great fit. And this, I think this could be a real kick-ass line.
Oh, for God's sakes. You throw out some numbers then. Give me a number for him.
How many points does he need?
Yes,
if he
goals.
Doesn't score 50 points, it's a crushing
minimum
disappointment.
50.
Minimum
50.
Minimum. Need a pool or something.
73 goals.
He goes for 70 goals, Matthew Nice. Breaks Matthew's record. How about that?
I don't, what, like, if like, he doesn't, he's number 23,
30 and
right?
30 playing with Matthews and Marner.
30 goals.
Well, you're going to get your apples.
I know, but he's a year older and he's big and strong. I don't know what he's tipping the Toledo at. He's a mule out there. He's big. He's strong.
He's a monster. He's like 230.
Yeah.
230, 240.
Let's focus on the complete package, whatever it may be. He's going to get his apples. He's going to get his points. I don't know. What do you want me to say? 25 goals? I'll say whatever you want. I like the fit.
Well, he could be the left winger they've been waiting for a very long time for.
Yeah.
That's
the
hope.
100%.
You were talking about looking at the Leafs wingers going back to 1967 in our group chat a while ago, and I don't know that they've had a ton of elite guys, and he could be one.
He could be one.
Last one for me, goaltending, Joe Woll, Anthony Stolarz. Are you excited about this duo? Because you look around the division, and it's maybe Swayman, but it's Bobrovsky, it's Vasilevsky. It's a tough division for goalies.
Yeah, it is. It is. And even like, you know, again, will Quantum lead to the playoffs? We'll leave it for now. But Freddie Anderson was a solid goaltender, but not a great playoff goaltender. But we'll leave that for now. Joe Woll, in a brief sample, has done the job in the playoffs. Now, is every goaltender minimum 6'7" now? Man, he's a tall, tall guy. But
yeah.
I've always been bullish on him. I think I've said to you guys a few times when all the hype, Austin Matthews got drafted first overall that Friday night in Buffalo. And the next day we're doing the draft on the Fan, and the PR people bring around this polite kid named Joe Woll, who I think was taken in the third round. And I just was always impressed, you know, meeting. It just doesn't mean you end up being a great player, but I was just really impressed by that meeting. Love the way he plays, loves his deportment. And Stolarz, there's two goaltenders in that goaltending carousel around the NHL. You know, the ones that go for $1 million and move around to a new team like James Reimer does and what have you. But Laurent Brossoit out of Winnipeg going to Chicago and Stolarz coming to Toronto that really had great years. I mean, they had solid, solid 1B years, not backup years. So if he can play that way, that gives them a great 1-2 tandem. We'll leave the story of health alone because that's a legitimate concern when people get hurt. But, you know, we'll see too often. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But I am very satisfied with the state of the Toronto Maple Leaf goaltending.
Gord, do we know if the Dante's Fiesta is still alive in this city?
I live by a Greek place called Zante, so maybe it's Zante's Fiesta now.
You know, it can't be because we've mentioned it so often. We've never heard once from them. But yes, the infamous order that a guy at another station now, Double D, mistakenly said it was a single order. I ended up getting like a party platter in front of all my Sportsnet colleagues during. So, and I almost ate it. That was the sad part.
Like, at least they let it go easily and you never heard about it again.
We told them.
I was like falling asleep on the panel on TV because I'd had too many, like, whatever they did. So
11 souvlakis.
We told them if he finished it, we ate for free next week. Hey, Gord. Love having you back, pal.
Best.
Thanks for doing this.
See you guys.
Thanks, Gordo.
That is Gord Stellick.
Quickly on Matthew Nice before we go.
Nice.
He was listed at 6'3", 217 last year, and into camp this year, he's 6'3", 227. Put on 10 pounds, even bigger.
I think he's heavier than that.
That might be too heavy.
The thing that Gordo mentioned,
that's heavy.
He just impactful in the playoff games that he's played. Mm-hmm. He scores an overtime winner, not afraid to go to the front of the net. He was one of their best forwards in all seven games last
year. Hope Berube could take him to the next level, get some snarl in him, too, because I think he could.
Boy, beat the crap out of somebody in the Penguins last year. Who was it?
If he can do that two or three times a year and gain a reputation.
He's Kronk from Emperor's New Groove to me. I don't know if that means anything to anyone out there, but let me know.
All right. We're just warming up here. We go national next. Steve Aliquett, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG, will join us. You want a breakdown of the goaltenders around the National Hockey League. Can't wait to hear his take on Swayman. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.